always stoked for a first-time guest as we head to the 919 in North Carolina. He's a writer for the News and Observer, the Duke beat writer, part of the Outstanding Believe Network. On Twitter, the handle is at Steve Wiseman NC. He's the Redbird from Illinois State. Steve Wiseman, how is life treating you there in the Tar Heel State?
Very good. Thanks for having me on tonight. We're getting close to March, just a few more days, and we'll be there. We got one extra day in February this year, so that delays March. That's a pain, but we love when March gets here in the triangle, that's for sure.
You know, as a first-time guest, I always love the personal history. You're an Illinois State graduate, the Missouri Valley. Back in those days, you had Hersey Hawkins, Larry Bird's little brother, Eddie at Indiana State. So I always like to get kind of explain, if you will, how unique a league that is, because football is FCS. Just the fans' passion level, where basketball is really boss.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is. And, when I was in school, this is a long time ago, Wichita State and Tulsa were still in the Valley. And so now we're, Loyola's come and gone. But Indiana State seems to be the top dog this year. That's always been a good rivalry. That Indiana State and Illinois State have always had a good one. Southern Illinois is in the league. Just really good basketball. Schools that really appreciate basketball. And with so much emphasis on football for the money reasons, we all know why that is. But it's a big-time level. It was nice to go to a school where basketball really mattered because, you know, Doug Collins is really the best player Illinois State ever produced. That's a pretty good one, and he kind of set the tone there.
Oh, yeah. Former number one overall pick, Olympian. Yeah, that's a good one. I kind of forgot about that. you also mentioned you covered the NFL's Panthers when the franchise win is in its infancy. And, of course, when people think of North Carolina, they think of the Heels, Blue Devils, maybe even the Wright brothers. So I'm kind of curious, in a hoops hotbed, how would you describe where the Carolina Panthers kind of fit in, according to the fans in the sports hierarchy?
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL, so it's always going to be, you know, really popular, right? I mean, it's the number one sport in the country, so there's a lot of passion for it. But, you know, the Panthers haven't done a lot of winning. They've been to a couple of Super Bowls, they have, and one of the years I covered them, their second year of existence, they made it to the NFC title game and lost to Green Bay in 96. But it's been tough for them to – they haven't had a consistent winner. And so while people care about the NFL, obviously, from all kind of reasons, the passion kind of falters off because it's just hard to get behind a team that really struggles to be a consistent winner, you know what I mean? And where we live up in the you know, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, a couple hours from Charlotte, this is more of a college area, although we have an NHL team here, the Hurricanes. And Charlotte has become more of the pro sports area with the Panthers and the Hornets, and that's what the focus of the media is down there, is on those pro sports teams. So it kind of, it's a little different by which part of the state you're in, but people here care about the Panthers, but just not to the level they do, you know, the college sports.
Oh, sure. Yeah, talking with Steve Wiseman, News and Observer, part of the Believe Network. So you started covering the Duke the year after they won the 2010 national title. And then there were a couple shockers in there when they lost to Lehigh, then as a three seed to Mercer. But 2015, man, I was looking at that freshman class, Okafor, Grayson Allen, Tyus Jones. You know, that season, how much of a vengeance did they enter that year with after getting run in the first round the season before?
Yeah, that was a big-time thing. And there were a couple guys back from that team. Quinn Cook mainly was the main guy, the guard, senior guard, that was kind of, you know, surrounding these freshmen surrounded him, you know, the freshman you mentioned. But somebody needed to drive the bus and lead that team. And Quinn Cook had been part of two of those teams that lost, you know, in first round flameout. And he was determined they were gonna raise a banner of some kind here. And they put him up in Cameron for ACC titles, Final Fours, and national championships. And so he got to put up two of them because they did the two things at the end of the year. There was a lot of vengeance on that team, so much talent, and 35-4 was that record. That was a heck of a season.
You know, you mentioned being in a college town. Obviously, we are. And we've seen the football team, the Ducks, play for two national titles. The men and women's basketball team make a Final Four. But when you spend a season with a group of guys like that, obviously with Coach K leading the way, and it culminates in a championship, I'm always curious, as a journalist, what kind of experience is that?
Yeah, I mean, you start from October and practice and everything, and they talk about what they think they're capable of doing. And then, you know, as a beat writer, I go to every game, home and road, so I'm kind of with them on the journey. And you see the down parts, and you think back to, oh, they lost back-to-back games in January. Is that the end of this run? No, they got it together after that pretty well. They lost to Notre Dame in the ACC tournament semifinals, didn't win the ACC. Is that the end of this team? No, then they got it going in the tournament, and they, you know, made big shots down the way. And you mentioned Grayson Allen. He didn't hardly play the first half of that year, and he was a reserve, you know, second or third guy off the bench. He had a tremendous championship game. That was really kind of his coming out party, was that championship game. And so that's what I remember, is like, you know, seeing guys like that and thinking, okay, he's going to be the next big star because these other freshmen are leaving, and kind of, you know, being part of that genesis of that group for the next few seasons. So it's kind of a neat thing to be sitting there on Monday night, the last game of the year, and you know, you're working that game and being part of a championship game.
Nah, that's got to be amazing. Talking with Steve Wiseman, News and Observer. Of course, then I'd be remiss in not bringing up the next season when, coincidentally, they faced the Ducks in the Sweet 16. You know, Duke's path there was, I guess, less than overwhelming, UNC Wilmington than Yale. What do you remember about that game? And actually, a pretty convincing Oregon win. And Coach K not exactly thrilled with Oregon's Dylan Brooks late.
Yes, down in Anaheim. I remember that very well. Very well. That team wasn't a great defensive team. And, you know, they had Allen back. They had Brandon Ingram, who's now with the Pelicans, was a rookie that year. I mean, a freshman. And he was supposed to be the big star. And he had a great year. He was on first-team All-ACC. You know, became a lottery pick. But that team just did not click defensively. And so when they got to the tournament, to the NCAA tournament, I wondered if they'd make it out of the first weekend. They were supposed to line up with Baylor in the second round. And, of course, Yale upset Baylor. And I remember that game being, Duke was up like 23 points at halftime over Yale, I'd say. And we started, like, you know, getting on Southwest and booking our tickets to the West Coast for that game. And Yale cut it back to about 4 points in the second half because Duke just could not get a stop on anybody that year. They ended up winning and getting out to Anaheim to bring back to your original point. You know, I knew Oregon was the better team. And unless Duke just shot lights out or something, that was going to be a short stay in Southern California, and that was a really good Oregon team that year.
You know, I can get a little lost in the past, so I'm going to bring us up to the present. You know, what's the rule? Don't be the guy who follows the guy. And I was thinking, well, since Lombardi retired, not sure there's been more of a guy not to follow than Coach K. So I'm curious as to your view, colleagues, fans. How much support was there to promote John Shire, you know, a player, a longtime assistant, as opposed to maybe using Duke's name to get a more nationally known name?
Yeah, they were going to keep it within within Coach K's, the people he trusts, right? And so then it was, you know, you talk about the guys that would be the likely candidates, and gosh, that was a parlor game here for years, for the last 10 years of Coach K's career. Like, who's going to be? Was it Jeff Capel? For a while, it was going to be Jeff Capel. Then he takes the job at Pitt and goes off and does his own thing. And you say, okay, who's the next guy? Will Capel come back? You know, at that point, Capel had not done enough at Pitt. He hadn't been in an NCAA tournament with them. So it was kind of, you know, Shire was right there. And he had obviously never been a head coach. Very young. He took over at 34 years old. And but Coach K knew he really had a feeling he could be the guy, and he just liked the way he worked on the recruiting trail. He was very instrumental in some of those big draft, big classes they brought in. Jason Tatum, Shire was a main recruiter on him when they got him to come to Duke. And so Coach K thought John knew enough of the game. from being the starting point guard and the team captain of a national championship team in 2010. That really carried a lot of weight with Coach K. And, you know, they say at Duke it wasn't like 100% Coach K's decision, but let's say it was 99.9%. It has to have been. So that's what it was. And, you know, so far, pretty good job by John Shire.
Final couple thoughts for Steve Wiseman, News and Observer. I guess if you're looking for a coaching reference, Coach K, not so bad. I think it's a coincidence that one of the big stories is the court storming at Lawrence Joel Coliseum at Wake, and you wind up on this show. We know the big fella, Kyle Filipowski, injures his knee, hobbles off the court. So you were there. Just kind of describe that scene, the reaction afterwards, and what we've learned about his health status.
Yeah, it was, you know, having covered Duke this long, whenever they lose a road game, unless it's at you know, Carolina, because, you know, their peers, they don't storm the court on each other, right? I mean, that would be uncouth. But there's going to be a court storming. I've seen it at Florida State and NC State and Georgia Tech and, you know, all the places through the years where I've been with Duke. And so you sensed it was coming. And, you know, Wake is a really good team this year. That was the largest crowd they've ever had for a Wake basketball game.
Wow.
And all the history. That gym was 33 years old, and they had the biggest crowd ever. Even Chris Paul played there 20 years ago, right? And this is a bigger crowd than he played in front of. So, anyway, so it was a jazzed-up place Saturday afternoon. You could see the students kind of gathering around the court as Wake was trying to salt that game away. And so I was just ready for the court storm. And it happened so quickly. I mean, they were on the court so quickly. That's what struck me was usually the players have time to get off of the court, off to the side, and the security gets in front of the bench, tries to protect the visiting team. And that didn't happen. I mean, they were on the court almost as soon as that buzzer was set, you look up and the whole court's full of people. And that really became a problem because Filipowski could not get off fast enough. And one guy ran into him and kind of spun him around. We've all seen the videos on social media now. And I think they, you know, what happened was they banged knees, which, as we know, can be kind of painful. And we'll see if he's going to play Wednesday or not. There's a chance he'll play Wednesday, I think, but he's still not 100% yet today. So we'll see how that knee does.
Yeah, I guess the good news is they didn't even require an MRI. So with he, their freshman Jared McCain is a stud. I mean, that 35-point game at Florida State. They got some senior leadership in Jeremy Roach. They're a real good shooting team. So you've seen them win it. You've seen them go out. How do you like the makeup of this team to make a major run in March Madness?
Yeah, right now it feels like a second weekend team for sure. And they got a little bit of work to do on defense. They still can do it. Obviously, they're, you know, as the season goes on, you can find a groove late to get onto the Final Four. And I say that because this is a really good perimeter shooting team. They're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the ACC. They have a lot. They're deep on the perimeter. They start three guards. They have another fourth, Caleb Foster, that comes off the bench normally. And so they don't turn the ball over very much. Now, they did that a little bit late against Wake. That's why they lost. But as a rule this year, they take care of the ball very well. They're hard to turn over. So those are the kind of things when you get to March can win games for you. And then Filipowski is the X factor. When he's healthy and when he's playing at his best, you know, he's putting in 20 points and grabbing 11, 12 rebounds. And he started to pass the ball better this year, too. He's 4 or 5 assists a game lately as well, passing out a double team. So those are the things I think, you know, they're going to, if they have a game when they come out the first weekend and they shoot poorly, they're, you know, one of those 4 out of 24 from 3 days, they might get knocked off. But they're going to have to shoot well on that second weekend and play really, really good defense to advance on from there. But I think they have the wherewithal to maybe get it done because they have, like you said, a veteran with Jeremy Roach who's played in the Final Four. And then you have, you know, Proctor and Filipowski and Mitchell who are, we're back from last season, and then a great freshman in Jared McCain and Caleb Foster.
Yeah, by the way, when this man talks about taking care of the ball, folks, they are one of the, I think, 10 teams who average just under 10 turnovers a game, which is outstanding. Anyway, he's Steve Wiseman. Catch his work for the News and Observer online. Visit newsobserver.com. On Twitter, the handle is at Steve Wiseman NC. He's part of our friends at the terrific Believe Network. Hey, Steve, really, really appreciate your time. Great having you. Fun stuff. Be well. And I hope we can catch up again down the road.
I'd love to do that. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
All right. Take it easy. There you go. Good stuff. Fun stuff. On the scene,